Again to a Sopranos podcast, the podcast where we shoot the shit about the Sopranos.
It's not, we don't have a tagline.
I like that. No, we do now. We do.
Yeah,
now.
We do now. As always, brought to you by Dave's Hot Chicken. When you're in LA and you want hot chicken, go Dave's.
New location just opened in Koreatown.
It's the only reason Spellman is doing this is because you guys ordered Dave's Hot Chicken.
It's
afterwards.
It's like Pavlov's dog. I know I'll get him to salivate. Yeah. I know I'll get spells to come.
I do love Dave's Hot Chicken. It has nothing to do with The Sopranos. As always, I'm Joe Spellman. This is...
David Feudernick.
And this is...
Paul Gullius.
And we're talking about episode 3...
Toodle fucking ooh.
Is it Toodle fucking ooh? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. HBO,
I never know the names. Well,
HBO, at this point, HBO is just bragging that they could do it.
Right. Yeah,
we
pretty much
fucking our titles.
Toodle fucking ooh.
Toodle-oo.
Yeah, so great ep.
Great ep.
I don't want no scrubs. Scrubs
are
gonna can't get no love from me.
I heard that actually while I was eating lunch today in a Japanese restaurant.
Oh, really?
I hadn't heard it in a long time.
Oh, Japanese people love that song.
Yeah.
It was just on repeat. It was weird.
Before
you're going to start at the top. You're going to start at the top.
Before we dive into the episode discussion, we got to say...
Skangarelawai.
For those of you who are watching, mark it down.
Yeah.
Skangarella watch. Well, why don't we go
another Skang attack?
Cool.
You just got
should
sang.
I step out while you guys do this? Or? I actually forgot that Hunter Skangarella returns before the end of the series.
Yeah, me too.
This
I knew she was coming in at some point in here, but she comes in. I knew she was mentioned.
But also, like, when I think of her, I think of that scene in the kitchen where they're like spilling milk.
I forgot that was her.
They're just like spilling milk everywhere. And so I don't know why it bothers me so much.
Let's get into the episode discussion.
Then we'll come back to you guys and all that.
So
they're making the grilled cheeses.
Yeah, you guys prematurely shot your wad on the Skangarella watch there, man.
No, we'll come back to it. We have to.
We'll do it a second time. This would be great for a podcast.
Hope you like sirens.
Okay. So episode 3 of season. Episode 3 of season 2. Toodle fucking ooh. Let's do a little rundown. Finally, the debut of a huge character, one of the most memorable of the series, and a fan favorite, Dr. Elliot Kupferberg, both Beansy and Kupferberg debut in this episode. But of course, I'm talking about Richie Aprile. He shows up, big thorn in Tony's side,
dropped off by Adriana.
Richie, he reignites an old romance with Janice. Mm-hmm. While in Downward Facing Dog. And Meadow throws a party at Livia's house and sings No Scrubs in her kitchen. We'll get into that, as we already have. And Melfi runs into Tony, acts like a little girl, and talks about it with her therapist. Mm-hmm. Those are the big headlines of this app.
Ooh. And also, and has the nightmare of Tony going through the... Going through the windshield.
Yes.
To the Wizard of Oz song.
Great visual.
Yes.
Very disturbing to see Tony through the windshield dead on his in the rain with a bottle of Prozac next to him.
Yep.
Yeah.
I always forget that for the first is it the next episode when she gets back in therapy with him? No, the next episode's commendatory.
So they're in Italy.
It's almost like half the season where Tony's not in therapy.
Maybe it's the next one because he said I met somebody who reminded me of you.
After he gets
back from Italy.
That's true. You forget that they have these lapses in the therapy. But I guess this was sort of like they did some work on the Melfi storyline in accepting Tony back as a patient. Her obvious subconscious concern that he's gonna die in a car crash due to a panic attack, and that would be on her, basically.
Right.
And then the episode gets its title from from when she happens to run into Tony and like every mob guy, like at some restaurant, and on her way out, says goodbye with toodaloo.
Toodaloo. Yep. We've all had those goodbyes, and you go, oh,
where you're just like, what?
Oh yeah, that happens to me every day.
Every time you say goodbye.
Every time I do anything, I'm like, why did I do that? Why did I say that?
I remember I was getting out of a cab, and I said to the cab driver, thanks, bucko. And I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to like be like, you know, like a middle-aged man.
And
with
it
him.
Haunts
and
you
I was
still.
Like, yeah, haunted.
Yeah, I probably haunts that guy too, bucko.
He was like, "What? I've never heard any Jews say bucko before."
I'm a little unsettled. We might want to edit this out for our listeners.
Cut that out, please.
But yeah, just right up top here, is there a better intro episode for a character than this? Like Richie Aprile comes in and just fucking grabs you.
Ralphie,
they sort of like try to like sneak in. Like he doesn't have like a big intro episode, you know?
No, he doesn't.
Tony B doesn't even really.
He kind of does.
He kind of does, but not
party
like this. Yeah. Like so Richie has obviously just done 10 years in prison, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he has Adriana drop him off in the neighborhood to see who he's going to run into.
Right.
Sees Beansy's pizza parlor.
Within minutes, a Brit smashes a glass coffee pot over his head.
Yeah. Within like a couple days of being released from prison, he's crippled a man. He's like shot a gun in public. Like, out of fucking control. This guy's an absolute lunatic.
He claims that seeing Junior without a shirt on is giving him a chubby.
Also disturbing.
Whoa.
But that's the thing. Like he really is out of the gate running because he like in this episode alone he's out and he's already making alliances with like all of Tony's enemies.
Yep.
Livia, Junior, and Janice.
Janice, right?
All of Tony's enemies are in his family.
Right.
Are family members of his. But yeah, that's like the unholy like alliance right there. It's like the four of them, and this is early in the season. You're like, how the fuck is this gonna play out? Which is like why this episode is so good and exciting.
Yep.
But
I also like the dynamic in this episode of like all these people that were, because you remember what it was like to grow up in a neighborhood where somebody who's just like maybe a few years older than you like is a huge like idol of yours. So. He has these, like, his older sister and Richie, who are obviously the same age, like, giving him shit the entire episode.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of, like, how I saw the intro of Janice and Richie into season two. It's like, Livia and Junior are sort of incapacitated, and Richie and Janice are sort of, like Livia and Junior 2.0. Like, the a little bit more youthful versions of these, like... sadistic.
I don't know. I saw them
people.
In that yoga class. Just a little bit more.
David Provol has clearly never done yoga in his life.
Downward facing dog.
Do you think maybe they're saying something about because like isn't his son? Well, his son's not gay, right? His son's just in the ballet.
Rick. No,
Rick.
I think. But they make it pretty clear he's gay.
Yeah.
Oh, they make it. But maybe,
I mean,
but
you don't know.
Maybe Richie has some gay tendencies because he does yoga, which the Italian people in The Sopranos would consider gay.
As far as Italians go, yes,
right.
Yoga is a very gay thing.
Right.
I don't think he says either.
He's getting a chubby from Junior.
Also, that scene is like weirdly intimate, isn't it?
Whatever
you tell me to do.
It's like slow.
And he's like real close to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, whatever, whoever. Like,
and also, I think a stripper is blowing him and he's not into it.
But I think it's implied
that
he's stressed.
A violence thing. Like he clearly gets off to violence. I mean,
yeah,
case in
right,
point.
The gun up to Janice's head.
Exactly.
Right. He gets off to violence.
Right.
But, you know,
yeah.
But I think they're definitely saying he has weird sexual stuff. But
sure.
True.
I think that's a good
point.
She's
like, oh, I see you like the dark. Like,
right.
What?
I think that was supposed to be a joke that her like face was ugly or something. Like he
really
turned off the lights. I think it was like a cheap
could be
Renzulli. It was my man Renzulli You know, he's hit or miss.
The Zool. He does hate women.
The writer. No, he's got great jokes this episode, though. Come on now.
No.
You love the Brill Cream joke.
That's a great line. A lot of people love the Brill Cream joke, but that's not my favorite. I like your nose is as far as I'm willing to go.
That's a great scene.
But also, did you notice in the yoga scene when they had the camera on Janice, it was like, now lift up into Cobra? And like the whole like Livia, like she's a real snake in the grass.
Oh, and all these sort of serpent allusions to her. Oh, Professor Pauly.
But actually, Spells, I think you bring up a good point. I think we should track this throughout season two and figure out if the writers were dropping hints that Richie Aprile was gay. Let's keep our eyes peeled.
Okay.
Let's see. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't say full out gay, but he's got some. Maybe.
Just got out of prison.
Who knows?
Who knows?
What else we got here? We got oh yeah, how fucking obnoxious and annoying is Meadow in this episode?
This is a like peak horrible Meadow episode.
So many fans of The Sopranos complain about AJ and Meadow. They're brats, and they are.
Yeah.
Spoiled. They are. But they never like really the characters for whatever reason never really got under my skin as much as everybody else like complains about them. But this episode with Meadow, like, fucking atrocious.
She's the worst. When she's, like, walking away, like, with her back to them, like, smirking.
Oh.
So good.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, good performance, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, oh, well, you know, like we were talking about up top, they're fucking making grilled cheese and chocolate, hot chocolate.
Yeah.
And like, apparently are so stupid, like, that they can't fucking pour milk into, I guess it's in a pot, but, like, they can't pour it into a,
no,
into
they're
a cup.
Not,
they get, like, two sips of milk in each of the mugs, like, the just spilling the milk everywhere.
And there's, like, flour everywhere too, and you're just making grilled cheese.
Right.
There's like chunks of shit on the counter. Like, yeah, what is going on?
Are they baking the bread as well?
I think it was a little too much, like either director or the art department or props or whatever.
I think
they're
like
a little too much.
Kids are messy.
Yeah, it's another thing. Like you always say, I feel like you always say, Dave, like that they write kids horribly, and I think this is another.
This is a small detail that a little bit takes you out of it if you're looking at it like with any discerning eye.
Yeah,
like, which we always are.
They would design a drugs there, Tone.
Yeah, yeah. The whole thing with like the party and her just like wriggling out of any responsibility, and Tony and Carmela like letting her get away with it. But I think it's interesting that storyline sort of complements Tony dealing with Richie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has some ability to restrain Richie, although maybe not as successfully
as much
he'd hoped.
As you possibly could, yeah.
But by the end of the episode, you know, he's like, listen to me or we're going to fucking have a problem. And, you know, that puts him a little bit in check. But, you know, Tony says to Carmela, if our kids realize we're powerless, we're fucked.
Right.
This mob boss has less power to deal with his own children than he does with this crazy fucking lunatic mobster, you know?
It's true.
But yeah. So you guys want some grilled cheeses now?
Yeah, to be fair.
Oh, definitely. I'm starving.
She is really tough, Meadow. She's taking no prisoners. I mean, you heard her singing.
She's smart.
She's terrifying.
She knows exactly how to manipulate them, and she probably, and you know, she's brought up soprano. They're all manipulating people.
I feel like a lot of people know how to manipulate their parents.
Yeah,
it's true. It's a teenage thing. I mean,
take advantage of the love they have for you.
Yeah.
Right.
To get away with things. I mean, I can see that. Ooh boy.
Oh, I also loved. We get our first reference to Feech in this episode.
Yeah.
Which feels fitting because Feech, when he plays into season five, feels a little bit like reincarnation of Richie.
Yes.
So to have the first mention of him be in Richie's debut episode. It's good writing, but the writers, I'm sure they didn't plan that.
No.
Well, I'm sure they used it later.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
I think Ralphie brings him up later too, right? Feech,
yeah, because he says like because he's talking about missing the stick up that night.
That's right. Yeah,
when he's talking to Jackie and Dino.
Well, yeah, they bring up the card game, right?
The card game.
Yes.
Like, they, you know, this is the first time we heard about the card game, right?
Me,
I think.
Tony.
Or is it? Or do we
Silvio.
This is the first time we've heard about that card game, yeah.
About the card game, yeah.
Yeah. When Richie's like, oh, I stopped the hit parade on you or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, when'd you ever stick your neck out for me? So I guess in Richie's mind, at least, he was the one who saved Tony's ass. Maybe that's why he feels like he's owed.
Mm-hmm. And but Feech says the same thing, and then like to Tony, like I could have, you know, given you.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then we really find out like it's because of Tony's dad. Like really, that's why they were saved.
I mean that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And probably a little bit Junior.
And Junior, right?
but yeah, that's just like the kind of shit that makes you love The Sopranos. Is this is just like a little line in a conversation that like ultimately like. Blooms into an awesome
something
character
seasons
like,
away yeah,
yeah seasons away right. it just like the history of it feels so rich. Another thing I noticed, Richie lecturing Chris about hitting Adriana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
you want to hit her one, you give her a last, you give her your last name.
Yeah. I mean, all of our like fathers and grandfathers taught us that same lesson, right?
Yes.
Only hit women when you marry them.
Yeah, which is a bummer because I just got married and my wife didn't take my last name. Fuck.
My wife didn't take my last name either, out of pure laziness.
Yeah.
She just didn't care enough.
She didn't want to go to the Social Security office and stand in line. And
my wife just has a better last name than me, so she just didn't want to take my shitty last name.
No.
I agree.
But ironically, Richie ends up hitting Janice before he's given her his last name.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And then she fucking shoots him in the chest.
Yeah, he really punches her. I mean, we're spoiling it. We do this all the time.
Yeah, hey,
I have heard a couple of friends complain about the spoilers. Okay, this podcast is for fucking fans of fucking show. So if you don't want the spoilers, watch the whole series.
Also,
finish the series and then listen to this.
This is for people at least on their second watch.
Yeah. Also, by spoiling it, I mean like we're talking about it, but we should just wait to talk about that for another 2 months when it happens.
We don't have to.
We'll talk about what we want when we want.
This is our fucking podcast.
No, Dave's Hot Chicken now has rules.
Ever since they opened the new location.
Yeah, now that they got, they're sponsoring us, man, we have to stick to a format.
It spells Nashville Hot Chicken Sandwich. Fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That line is so great.
That's great. So
I don't know if I've ever had a veal parmesan sandwich.
What? Really?
Yeah, I don't think I have. It's just not my go-to.
Oh, man.
That'll be a thing. That's the next craze. Now it's hot chicken. Yeah. It's gonna be veal parmesan
sandwich.
Find
a fucking veal parmesan sandwich in Los Angeles.
Hot veal.
Please.
Hot veal.
I know.
Veal.
I can't even find a good chicken parm sandwich. Like a really good chicken parm.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what the best chicken parm sandwich I've had here.
I have no idea.
Anybody out there listening in Los Angeles, the LA greater area, please direct us to any chicken parmesan
this
or veal
parmesan
sandwiches.
This is a question for friend of the pod, John Gabris.
Yeah, well, he goes over it. I know, like chicken cutlet, like what's the best chicken cutlet. But anyway. I thought it was interesting. That we have this Richie and Janice sort of meeting at the end at the hospital, and they're two people talking about this speaks to like a theme of The Sopranos of that does anybody change, they all just kind of stay the same, and like they're not, like Richie says he's changing but he's still the fucking same, and Janice has talked about how she's changed and how she's different, but then they just start calling her Janice.
Exactly.
And like,
and
these two didn't work, but they're gonna still like get back together
again. Try one more time.
I just thought that was fun.
Yeah, you're right, that's like such a huge theme of the Sopranos, is that like as adults we've made our choices and it's really hard to fucking escape what the lives we make for ourselves once we've made them.
How far you go.
Like
the characters almost die on the show and then they don't change.
Oh yeah. But we'll get into that when we get to those
when
episodes.
We get to those
for
Dave's
Hot Chicken.
Yeah.
What else we like? What else you want to talk about?
Great. Well, I mean, great lines, great little things. I mean, the little specific that everybody, Richie says that how's California to Janice.
Yeah, right.
Like everyone thinks that Seattle is California, which is so, I feel like that's so true.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, I do think that's a funny touch, but in this episode, Janice goes to Livia's house and sees the mess that Meadow and her friends made, and she comes back to the Soprano house and she's like fuming, complaining that it looks like like people were shooting up like a drug den. And Tony says, like your place in Venice. So she did live in California at some point.
Or Italy.
She went from Italy to Seattle.
Yeah.
New Jersey to Italy to Seattle.
Like your place in Bologna.
Right. I'm sure she did spend some time in California.
I think that's where she originally probably moved to when she bailed.
Too.
Yeah. And then she couldn't.
But Spells is right. This is another larger like running thing in The Sopranos is California and the whole idea of the West just is such a symbol of escaping New Jersey and mob life. I mean, Meadow wants to go to Berkeley. Like that's symbolized as her just like up and leaving the family and starting a new life. Chris with his whole movie thing going out there to LA, this and that, you know, Davey Scatino later this season when he's like, when his life is in shambles, he's like, I'm moving out West.
Yeah.
Like that, the idea of the West to these New Jersey
Nevada
characters.
Nevada too. When they like, Johnny Boy.
Have we seen that? Yeah, that was in the first season. When he almost got out of the mob and started like a legit business with somebody who ended up like doing really well for themselves.
But
that's definitely like a recurring thing.
I mean, I think that's just like a East Coast thing too. Like if you grow up in that area, you think like those places are just so foreign, they really are. When you first moved here, it was definitely different.
Yeah.
I just think that's a great touch. Like everybody, you know.
Hey guys, at least we made it out. We made it out of that East Coast life.
Yeah, I never miss
it. A hard life.
I definitely don't miss it every day.
No regrets.
Yeah.
None.
You know what? If I go back there, I'm just going to gain 100 pounds because I'm just going to just miss the food.
Because you're just going to be eating veal parmesan sandwiches.
Yeah.
Anytime I order a chicken parm sub here and they ask if I want avocado on it.
Really happened, by the way.
Yeah.
That really happened.
It did happen. They asked if I wanted avocado and red onion on it. And I was like, the fuck?
Was that at Palermo?
Palermo.
Oh, well, that's why.
I love Palermo.
Come on.
Yeah, you would.
Let's fucking.
This is a nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
All right, what else we got?
Yeah, it brings you all the way back to 2012.
Never mind. I'm not yet. How is Adriana related to Richie Aprile? I know
this is like one of these things where the writers needlessly like so unnecessarily make relationships complicated. The other thing is
like Chrissy
and the cousin, and he's also like cousins with Carmela,
with Carm, right?
But then like he's cousins with Tony B.
But is she a niece or is she just a niece
It might be in the way that the families are close.
Yeah.
Because then
would he have that sit down though if she wasn't blood?
I probably not.
But we don't know. She might be blood.
She might be blood.
Maybe they have a sister.
Right. Which then I remember reading something where it was like that means I think in season 3 Jackie Jr. makes some comment about like her ass or something. And they're supposedly like cousins or second cousins. I don't know. And then isn't like Vito related to Jackie Jr. somehow?
Is he?
I think he is. I think that comes out like later in the series.
I don't know.
We're going to do our homework. I'm sorry.
We'll get there.
Professor Pauly is.
Is that why
Vito's the one that kills him?
I think so. I don't know. Maybe, but.
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't know that.
Oh, sorry. Another spoiler. Sorry, Dave's hot chicken.
But then it's like weird because there's that line that Adriana tells San Severino, like Vito Spadafore was calling me because he knows Chris is away at rehab. And if they're related, that's another weird thing. But then also Vito's gay. So like what's going on there? Anyway.
Incestuous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a rat's nest.
Yeah. So may or may not be actually blood related.
Yeah.
Yeah, just I was just curious.
Oh yeah, who you?
Great line.
Nancy Marchand stealing a scene again.
Oh yeah,
pimps beep.
Oh, yeah, pimps beep.
I love seeing the lunatic Richie getting put in his place by this little old lady. It just really like sharpens how crazy Livia is and how like yeah, I just love that interaction.
Her agitated by the woman sharing the room with her too is just gold.
Right.
So good.
They brought that comic back.
Yeah. The stand-up comedian.
Dreams of tit fucking in your head.
They were like, we gotta get this guy back.
Muslim population.
I don't even get that. What's that joke?
What?
Muslim.
I don't know. Did they bring him back again?
No,
later
I think this is the last time we see him. He was waxed that night outside.
Yeah, he definitely was. Paulie gets...
Georgie fucking dismember him.
Also in that scene, Paulie gets so mad at that fucking guy. I wonder if they were gonna he's like so mad
at Richie's party. Like there's some fat guy
yeah, some no
his
neck
belt
and
up
eyes
to his nipples.
Fucking golf.
I'm a
shirt.
Grandpa now, Rich, believe that? And Paulie's busting balls right out the gate. Like, who is this guy? Like, why do you hate him so much?
Yeah, and he's not even busting. He doesn't even bust Richie's balls, like, because Chris like goes, "Yeah, I don't know. He's got an attitude problem." He's like, "Hey, chill out.
It's
this fucking grease ball that we have to worry about."
Yeah. Right.
This guy's talking about how he's a grandpa. Right. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. Probably not.
What the fuck happened?
That
with
was
that
gonna
guy?
Be like a guy we see again.
Probably not.
No, probably not.
But
just randomly breaking balls.
But great Pauly joke was the.
They needed dialogue there.
In the scene at the restaurant when they all see Melfi, and he's like, "Hey, Puss is like great blowjob lips on her," and he's like, "Remember every blowjob I ever got? Hey, Sil, you remember your first blowjob? Yeah. How long did it take the guy to come? Hey, Tone, you hear what I said?" Classic running Pauly gag. He just repeats his joke.
Yep.
But yeah, overall, funny ep, frightening ep.
Establishing Richie.
Setting up Richie finally.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, guys?
Just like last episode made me not want to be an old person, this made me not want to have teenagers ever.
right. The Sopranos will just systematically make you want to just cut old and young people out of your life and just
it mostly makes me want to not do things except for eat.
right. Yeah. The food look good.
Yeah.
I know you guys have been clamoring for this segment, and we talked about it when we were discussing season one, which was I was going to write Sopranos erotic fan fiction.
Erotic.
Because we were talking about how Father Phil was, how he was, we were sort of doing a bit and joking around that he was going to go after everybody's wife because he was talking to Artie about Charmaine and about Artie's problems. We're mm-hmm. just saying he was just going to go through all these like, you know, characters' wives and try to have sex with them. You remember that, right?
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you said
great episode.
To,
go back and listen
said,
to it.
Yeah. So you said to write fan fiction about Father Phil.
You actually did it.
And Charmaine, and I did. So this is called Father Phil fucks Queen Charmaine by by my pen name, which is Johnny the Nut Sacpino.
By the way, it's written out sack dash peen dash o.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, you spelled Father Phil fucks with a ph. P-H-U-C-K-A-S. Yeah.
Well, this is my persona, okay?
Okay.
My fan fiction persona,
oh, Zach
Pino. All right? Yeah, Johnny the Nut Zach Pino.
This is like a double layer of dangerous here, because Spells is like enough of a degenerate, and now he's writing as Johnny the Nut.
Yeah, here we go.
All right.
So you'll Golias, read... you play Phil, and Fjordaneg, you play Charmaine.
Oh, I'm Maney, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, boy.
All right, fade in. Audience, Charmaine's backyard. Charmaine and that sweet can of hers is doing some gardening, clipping leaves and shit. Father Phil, a cuck, walks in.
By the way, this is the first that Golias and I have seen this.
Yes.
So.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Looks like the eggplants are coming in nicely.
Yeah, well, if my fucking dumb bald-ass husband didn't go crazy with the Roundup, they'd come in a lot earlier.
Roundup?
Yeah, Father. The fucking chemical. The fucking chemical? Duh.
Sorry, that Artie is giving you so much turmoil, Char.
Yeah, thanks. He can be a real piece of shit, you know. Did you know he has really large nuts?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Sometimes when he comes home after cooking, he gets those hot, sweaty nuts everywhere.
Where is this going?
What?
Hey, come on. The audience is getting hot.
Yeah, go ahead. Stay invested.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Come on.
On
the furniture, on the nice china, sometimes on the food. The nuts getting in the way of chopping the leaves in the garden.
Phil is getting turned on as fuck. Oh, he's about ready to cuck Artie like you've never seen before.
Carmaine, I have to say, this is getting me hot under my collar, my priest collar.
Oh, no. I heard about you, priest. You like to go around to unsatisfied wives and try to fuck them. You think you're getting in this olive can of mine?
Please. I guess it's raining now, and I need a place to stay.
What's your nuts situation?
They're clean as a dish at Vesuvio's.
All right, then. Put the cock in my ass hard. But hard at first. Then, after the... What the fuck?
Come on, it's fair. It's erotic.
But hard at first. Then after that thrust, hard two times. Wait, with the tip at the...
Because I said you were drunk when you wrote this, but you're doing a sober January.
Wait, with the tip at the edge of my sweet can for about 30 to 40 minutes. Then you may come.
Oh God, I've always wanted Carmella this way.
Yeah, well, her ziti ain't as spicy as mine. Bite this eggplant.
Oh, yeah.
That's says continued, in, but it just stopped.
Yeah.
continued
in Spellman's weird brain.
No.
Holy
that's
fuck,
you,
Spells. What was that?
That's where you come. That's the point.
Oh, man.
Hey,
oh,
the I'm white... not Spells. I'm Johnny Sack.
Oh, sorry. Johnny the Sack Pino.
Sack Pino.
Well, right. Listeners, I'm sorry.
That was a thing we did.
Hey, that's my persona, okay? You know, that's my erotic fan fiction.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry that all your pants are so wet right now, audience members. But I did my thing.
I love that Dave's Hot Chicken was like, hey, no spoilers, but this is okay.
Oh, yeah. No, but... Dave's... I prefaced to Dave's that... We're going
to
have this segment,
Dave
and there
himself.
Are like more. I want it every episode. So, you know, hopefully we'll keep doing that.
We'll be seeing more of Johnny the Nut Sack Pino.
Yeah, he just left. He's got to go.
I mean, that was just a little tease.
Yeah, well, you know, the Sopranos pilot, you know, wasn't what the show eventually became. So just
bear
with us, I guess.
I don't know. Johnny told me it's going to be more of that. So we'll see.
Okay. Well,
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see if that comes
back. I don't know what he's coming up
with. Let us know if you want to hear
that
again.
He was here, and he had a hole in his crotch. Very large hole.
Ooh, yeah. Are you implying that was, like, from his boner?
He told me that that's just how pants work.
Gotcha.
Okay.
That's well, how they wear them these days.
That olive can of mine.
Yeah, I never heard that. Never heard that before.
Mm. The script? Right. You never heard the script before?
No, I just read it. I know.
That was Johnny the Nut Sack Pino.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. He just showed it to me.
This is like a Fight Club situation where we're going Joe's going to wake up one day.
Oh, you
and,
think I'm him? You think yeah. I'm talking through he's talking through me?
We're going to walk in and Joe's going to be beating himself up with his pen.
I don't know. Maybe.
Sorry, Johnny Sack the Nut Sack Pino's pen.
You're going to have to talk to him. I mean, you know, he's a wild man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We'll get the nut on.
Well, that was a segment.
Okay. Many more to come. And so what's next?
Should we go straight in? Anyway?
Yeah, fucking internet.
All right, we'll go straight into fucking internet.
Fucking internet.
Fucking internet.
Fucking internet. All right. So as usual, this is a segment where I look online and see what fucking people are saying about this fucking episode. Not a lot of great stuff about Toodle fucking Ooh.
No?
There's a couple things. But also, I expanded it into more general stuff about the series. But we'll kick it off with, from Twitter, at WLCM Distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rewatching Toodle Fucking Ooh from The Sopranos, and Janice says to Richie, "We weren't good for each other 20 years ago. I looked up both those actors' ages and did a bit of math. Janice would have been 17, and Richie would have been 37. Did you know that he is 20? He's like fucking 20 years older than her? David Provall is 57 and Ada Turturro is 37 in this episode.
Oh, the actors.
The actors, yeah.
Not the characters.
Not the characters, but yeah. Like I
mean, you buy they're the same age in this.
I never questioned that they were like not like same.
Especially not 20 years.
20 years is crazy, but I definitely think he's older.
He's
got a little bit of gray.
Yeah, he looks a little older, but
I wouldn't have said 20 years.
I guess when I first watched this, everybody looked old to me. So I was
exactly.
Like,
yeah. No,
I was
they're all just old people.
Yeah, they're all just old.
I was looking at it now, and I was like, how much older is he than Tony? I mean, probably like I was thinking like 10 years. I'm like he's like maybe like he's mid 50s, early 50s. Like the character, I guess.
He was that much older than his brother.
You can't be. I mean, maybe it's you can be 10 years older. I mean, my sister is 11 years younger than me.
Yeah,
but
yeah, you can be spells. You can you have. Can.
I, no. I'm saying most people are not that much older.
Yes,
I guess that would also make sense. Like why he feels that he saved Tony and Jackie Jr.
Yeah,
after the
he feels more of a connection to Junior.
If he was just a few years older than them, like he wouldn't have had that pull.
For sure.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Also, I think Ada Turturro is younger than Gandolfini, but she's playing his older sister.
Oh, interesting.
I'm pretty sure. But anyway, I know. Just an interesting little tidbit. Thanks, WL whatever the fuck.
Wow, real age hound.
From Use It Redder. Indiana Longnuts.
Okay. Now that is a writer's name.
Now that's a name. That's an internet name. Question from season 2, Toodle Fucking Ooh. At the end of the episode, Meadow is cleaning Livia's house that she trashed by having the party. Who forced her to do this? Tony's shocked about it, and you never see Carmela or Janice having a talk with her. I doubt she decided to do it all of her own free will, especially as we see her almost vomiting as she's cleaning up.
Yeah,
what do you guys think?
I watching this together, I was just like, there's no way she would ever do this. She would never do it.
Yeah, I
you think
disagree.
I think
if somebody made her do it, the most likely one is Janice, because Carmela sort of went to bat for her and Tony's like decision on punishment.
Right.
And the last we see of Meadow before we see her cleaning the house is her like on the staircase having listened to like her mother chew out Janice for like telling her how to parent her kids. And
no,
I think
because we see her again when she asked for the money for the CD.
Oh, that's afterwards.
And he gives her a $20 bill and she's like pissed off.
I really think it it's her. I think she sort of decided to go do it on her own. I think it's like her realizing how awful she's been.
I think so.
I think like the entire episode, people are just avoiding repercussions. And Meadow is like the sole soprano who like has a chance of like breaking out of that. Who's like a little more self-aware, a little good. She's, you know, she's not completely corrupted at this point.
Right.
And I think she probably went over, she might be regretting that she went over to fucking do it when she's almost throwing up.
Yeah.
But then also the look of shock on Tony's face, this Johnny Longnuts or whatever the fuck his name is, was questioned. Like, why is Tony so shocked, like, to see her over there? I mean, I think, first of all, he was like, he probably felt stupid because in her punishment, like, cleaning up the fucking mess she made should have been included in that.
Yeah, that totally.
That should have been the first thing instead of taking away her Discover card.
Yeah.
Right.
But also I think like he's just seeing that like his daughter sort of like, unlike everybody else in his life, is taking responsibility and owning up to shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of like puts him like in a place of like self reflection and that sort of thing. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
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 I agree.
All right. Cool. Moving on.
There's nothing else to say. Yes.
Yeah. Good job, writers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Renzulli.
Yeah. This one from Rooster84. Doing a rewatch and just realized that at the restaurant...
Cuckle Toodle Doo!
We'll edit that part out. Doing a rewatch and just realized that at the restaurant in this episode, Melfi and co. are like, I can't believe we drank a whole bottle of wine between the three of us. I'm not even a big drinker, maybe once or twice per month, and I can easily drink one bottle of wine on my own. That line amused me.
That's one of those touches that I love that the writers always do, where they make like non-mob people just the lamest fucking people in the universe.
right.
Also, Melfi hasn't even finished her wine. They get up to leave, like, so they didn't even drink the whole bottle.
It's also implied that she might be like a little tipsy too. Like,
right.
Otherwise,
right.
Why would she even stop and talk to Tony? Like,
yeah.
Good call, Rooster84. That's
I mean,
funny little moment.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because, you know, like the three people sitting here could probably drink two bottles of wine each in a sitting.
Are you kidding? Easily.
So
we probably have during the podcast before.
Yeah, that's true.
Have we? We've never been up to Wine Country together, have we?
No, we haven't. Yeah, but I'm just fucking saying it.
We should.
Should we make our plans on the air right now?
Fine. All right. Actually, the Vintners Festival, I think, is the end of April.
Yeah.
Done.
And the Visa has like all these wineries.
Done.
Mm.
Listeners, we'll be up there. If you want to come meet us, it's the O Sopranos podcast gathering. We'll see.
Tastes like people's feet.
But no, actually, it would be good.
I mean, we should do an episode where we just each drink two bottles of wine and see what happens.
Yeah,
I mean,
after February.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Also from Reddit, user Tia Kayuda, don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Which actors' parts would you cut from the show to create more screen time for characters' storylines that you do enjoy? For me, I'd cut Juliana Skiff by Kaisha. All people connected to Melfi's personal life. Toodle fucking ooh. Fran Feldstein. Happy birthday, ma'am.
Hell
we
yeah.
Never need to leave you, or we need you to leave immediately. Finn, anything to remove the apartment scene from my memory. Eugene, he could hang there like patience on a monument for all I care.
Oh, no.
And Vito, terrible actor and story. I have some disagreements with that. I would love to have, after seeing Eugene's episode, like, I would have loved to see more from that actor and that character.
I agree. Members Only is such a...
Members Only, yeah.
Great.
We were reading the sides last week. They had was Ray Kurtle a cooperative or whatever?
Yeah, line that he has.
Reading that page.
But Juliana Skiff never really did it for me.
Yeah, same.
I mean, her whole storyline was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird way to...
Wait, that's Margulies, right?
Yeah.
It's a weird way to just like put that actress in there, actor. Sorry, whatever.
But so, are there any people you guys?
I mean, Fran Feldstein's a good call too. That storyline is so weird.
I remember watching that episode live. I feel like I've said this before, and I was just like, "What the fuck?"
When she's singing to him, like,
I mean, that moment is supposed to be cringy, but
yeah, sure. It's kind of interesting, but also I was just like,
eh. I like the end of that episode when it's just like Tony, like sweeping his father's misdeeds under the rug. Like, blamed the entire series. He's blamed his mother for things, and then. In that episode, we get a little glimpse of what a shit his dad was as well.
Yeah. That's true.
But, you know, you could have not had Fran Feldstein in that revelation, I guess. Anybody else stand out to you guys as, like, people you delete
Noah.
From the series?
Noah. Ugh.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like that storyline.
I guess I just hate the actor so much.
I mean, he sucks, yeah.
I would delete.
Stop. Stop.
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody's. I love the entire show so much that I like. It's hard for me to part with.
You could delete Caitlin. I was there.
Caitlin made me think of her.
Yeah.
Caitlin's pretty annoying.
And she. There's nothing really to that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know.
They like were trying so hard to show like college life.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't care. I don't care about Meadow. Like, I don't give a fuck about Meadow. Like,
I especially don't give a fuck about her, like, roommate from the Midwest.
Yeah, right. I could see her relationship with, like, with Noah, and then, but that also leads to Jackie Jr., right?
Right.
It? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, that makes sense. But, yeah, Caitlin, I guess, was just, like, another character that, like, just to fill out that world.
All right. Yeah. Bye-bye, Caitlin. And finally, we got user smooth as fast 22. What would Richie have done if he was still there when Jackie Jr. Staged that robbery? Would he have fought for Jackie, turned the other way?
So he's for sure would have fought for him.
He's referencing the card game.
Yeah.
Right. I think he probably would have fought for him. He's his nephew.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the same time, Richie is out for number one. And if it was inconvenient for him, as it was Ralphie at the time, Ralphie was sort of Jackie's.
Yeah, but remember, Ralphie like had a chance to take care
save
of the situation,
yeah.
And he refused to.
Yeah, yeah.
He ultimately chose not to.
Right, because he knew that it would make him look
put
like
more heat on him.
Yeah, yeah. Make him look weak. Basically.
And he also knows that like he gave him the gun and like was right. putting all these ideas in his head of like, you know, when
that was completely Ralph's fault.
When Tony robbed Peach's game and all that, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Now, but I don't know.
I mean, do you think Richie could have saved
his brother's son?
I think
he would have saved him.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Do you think Tony would have listened to Richie then at that point?
Well, if he was still alive at that point, he probably would have been married to Janice by then.
True.
So, yeah, I think he would have had no choice.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
It is interesting.
Interesting to speculate.
Interesting.
User.
Yeah, but anyway, DNR.
Keep him dead.
Keep him dead.
All right, that's all I got for fucking internet, so.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All
that's
right.
That's pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm happy that we're rocking and rolling in season
rolling,
two.
Rocking, hey.
We got Richie April now. It feels like The Sopranos
has
really started.
Yeah,
we
got
Kupferberg. We got Beansy.
Yeah. Oh, I was just curious I didn't look at how many episodes Richie's in, but I guess you could probably add it up right now.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering if Beansy was in more episodes than Richie.
Oh, then Richie? It's possible.
He's in five.
No,
and
he can't be more.
He's in five, so he's not.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. And Kupferberg is in 14, actually.
Kupferberg is like throughout
he's in
the
a
series.
Lot.
Yeah, he's in more than Richie.
Through to the end, just about.
Yeah, no, he's in the second to last
second
episode.
Last up, yeah.
He's how Melfi realizes. Oh, sorry, Dave's Hot Chicken.
Yeah,
sorry.
Dave's Hot Chicken.
Yeah,
he brings up the study.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
we'll get there in a couple years.
As always, if you have any questions, concerns, stuff you like, stuff you don't like that you wish we were doing more of, you can always email us at osopranospod@gmail.com. Make sure to like, subscribe, retweet, pass around, review, hit us up on our Instagram and Twitter at Sopranos Pod. Anything else, boys?
No.
No?
Spells wants fucking chicken now.
Hey, I'm hungry too. Until next time. Oh!
Oh!
Oh! Oh!
Mother, don't you recognize your son?